It is time for the crime report. Situation of crime is brought to you by the Suffolk County Crime Stoppers, 1-800-220-TIPS, 220-8477. As a reward given for information that will lead to an arrest, Joe Jacklone, of course, retired sergeant, former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad. He's current adjunct professor at John Jay College. Author of the bestseller, The Criminal Investigative Function, A Guide for New Investigators, edition number 3. And, of course, most notably, a highly decorated member of the NYPD in his day. And, of course, the Department Medal of Valor given. We say a very good morning to the Sarge. Joseph, how are you?
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
All is good, my friend. All is good. We've got a lot on the plate. Let's go to the national stage for a second. We hear school shooting. We get alerts and everything else going on our phones. It is an eye-opener. And, you know, it's almost as if, unfortunately, we kind of expect the situation. But in Idaho, thank goodness, no one was killed. But a middle school and people so young carrying weapons and firing them off. Tough scene in Idaho at the Rigby Middle School there, Joe. That was a tough one.
Well, yeah, I mean, talk about a collective, breath that everyone took. But the shooter is a female, and she's like 11 or 12 years old. She wounds two other students, a member of the staff. It's absolutely insanity what's happening.
No question. And the beat goes on as far as, you know, legislation and what to do and red flags. And listen, we go over this almost every week. And then you had another situation in South Carolina in which a school bus was hijacked. And, you know, that could have been a dire situation as well. But, you know, they keep coming. But that was a tough scene in South Carolina. Certainly could have been a lot worse. Crazy stuff happening around our country, Joe.
Well, yeah, now the school bus thing actually kind of hits at you because of the fact that this was one of the things, if you remember, way back when, after 9/11, they were very concerned about terrorists taking over school buses. So you've actually seen what happened. I mean, he walks in with an assault-type weapon onto this bus, and they had the cameras inside the bus. You actually could see the whole thing go down. It's the bus driver did pretty good keeping his composure. But, the individual is an Army trainee. He hijacks the bus. 18 children on board of the bus. And luckily, everybody comes off of this safe.
Could have been a lot worse. Joe Jacklone, the crime report. Joe, let's go to Minneapolis. The Chauvin case, his lawyer requesting a new trial. Start their jury misconduct. His client's due process rights were violated. Mentioned several factors, including not sequestering the jury properly. Also, there was a picture of a member of the jury that came up, Black Lives Matter T-shirt from prior. Listen, I spoke about this yesterday. You're opening up a massive can of worms here. But all in all eyes upon Judge Cahill now in the next couple of weeks as far as sentencing and everything else and a statement regarding this stuff. Listen, the beat goes on. Eric Nelson trying to find a loophole of some kind here. A lot of outrage over this. What's your take?
Well, I think what happens next, I mean, this is just what defense attorneys do right after they lose a case like this. But, he might have some merit in the also. He also brought up the fact that the trial should have been taken out of Minneapolis and gone somewhere else. But I think what happens next is all of this goes by the wayside and Chauvin ends up firing him and then suing to get another trial based on that he had inadequate defense. So that it's just a process what everything, all these cases go through. And I think that's the next step after this.
So we'll wait and see what happens there. Cahill right now, he'll be in the spotlight in the next 6 weeks or so with a sentencing due. Let's head to the city. And a very tough story we reported this morning where two gang members arrested, charged with the shooting death of a one-year-old. It happened last summer. He was shot at a block party back in July. The arrests were announced. 17 total members of this gang, the Hoolies, in the Bedford-Stuyvesant section. You know, when you read about these cases with kids, especially what happens in and around the Windy City these days, Chicago, they almost have one a week where a child is right in the middle of gunfire. This is tough. It really is. And really only accentuates what we have going on out there, Joe. This was a tough time here that happened last summer. I remember that with Devin Gardner.
Yes, that was it's a terrible case, but you can see how long it took to put this together with all the gang members that got rounded up. 17 gang members got rounded up. And apparently it seems as if maybe they got some intel that would lead them to these guys as the shooters. So two of the 17 that were arrested have been charged in the murder. So I'm assuming through either prisoner debriefings or what have you that they got some intel that would point the cops in the direction of these two guys in regards to that shooting. So that's an interesting to see how that pans out. But, you know, listen, they had another terrible, New York City had another terrible week. The shootings are up 166% last week. The violence is off the hook. Crime is just going up every day. I think they had 7 people shot yesterday in New York City. And you're going to need to see more of these gang roundups if they're going to try to keep a lid on things. But unfortunately, I know if we have the personnel to do it. So we had the 5,300 cops, whatever, is retired. So you have less cops. It's going to be more violence, and clearance rates are going to suffer, and there'll be more shooters out on the street. So it's not a good mix what's happening in New York City.
A lot of these individuals know the deal. Not only that, with the numbers, the rising numbers, again, April shootings up 166% from a year ago. It's just unbelievable, really. It's unconscionable when you read about these numbers. But also, and I spoke about this during the week, regarding the individual who likes throwing rocks at synagogues, at windows and doors, and was on a rampage. And when you look at everything there, you know, you throw in the flimsy bail reform laws, you know, where you had a judge, he tried, Joe, for the accused serial synagogue vandal, he tried to put this guy in bail behind bars, 20,000 or whatever it was, because it's a violent felony. So, unfortunately, because of the loopholes in these new laws where hate crimes, can you imagine this? Hate crimes are not included. You had a different judge cut Jordan Burnett loose under supervised release just hours later. So forget about the 42 counts allowed for bail to be required for this individual. Not hate crime offenses could put Jordan Burnett behind bars. And again, you know, it's an eye-opener. And you wonder why. Why does this continue to happen? These guys know they can get away with it. These guys know they'll be back in the streets again because of these laws. And that's the bottom line, Joe. It's unbelievable. It really is.
It continues to happen, Jay, because the people who enacted these laws are going to refuse to admit that they were wrong. I mean, and this guy was not caught, like he didn't throw the rock and then he was caught immediately. This has been an ongoing investigation. So think about all the personnel that had to work on this case, all the hours and time spent on it, and only to have this person released is not only a slap in the face to all of the synagogues and the Jewish people that he's attacked, but also to the cops and the work that they do. So after a while, you kind of throw your hands up in the air and say, you know, why bother? And that's unfortunately that the cops are just going to say, well, why are we killing ourselves doing this stuff? And that's going to be a problem going forward. I mean, somebody's got to do something. Somebody has got to be an adult and say, okay, we went way too far with these reforms. We need to scale some of them back. You know, not all of them are bad. Not all of them are good. And we need reevaluate them, and we need to reevaluate them now, not 6 months from now. Not let's like have a committee and let's look at all this stuff. People are getting killed in the streets of New York City at an alarming rate, rates that we haven't seen since 1996, somebody had said. So this is something that needs to be addressed right now, because the summer is coming. The heat brings with it more people out in the streets. You've reduced all of the COVID whatever we want to call them, lockdown procedures. So there's going to be a lot more people out on the streets, Jay, and it's going to be ugly.
It's ugly already. This is a guy who went on an 11-day terror spree, folks, out on the street. Supervised release. You know, it's interesting. When you hear the words come out of the blah blah, our illustrious mayor, who thinks this case shows the need for a fix to the no bail law, to allow for remand in the case of nonviolent hate crimes. You know, when he says it, guess what? Maybe one should listen. Because we know what comes out of the mouths of babes, and especially him. It's unbelievable. Wake up, Carl Hasty. My goodness. It is unreal. Joe Jacklin, the crime report. Joe, let's move to Suffolk. Alleged misconduct eyes in police promotions. Talk to me about this, because it's interesting. You laid it out for me a little bit. I want to convey this to the audience here, but we're talking about promotions and everything else in some of the faux pas involved here, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is a little ugly here. So what happened was the Justice Department in 2019 said that the Suffolk County Police Department was not giving out promotions within the ranks of detectives and sergeants in basically the detective squad. So this is where you hear about detectives second grade and first grade. And with those raises come with sergeant's pay and lieutenant's pay. And for the sergeants, you get the promotion to, you know, SDS, which is supervisor detective squad, or detective sergeant for short. Now, the DOJ had allegedly said that Suffolk County was doing like the good old boys network in Suffolk, where, you knew somebody, so you got promoted. And they weren't, the people who really deserved it weren't getting it. So they had written a letter to Suffolk County Police Commissioner Geraldine Hart. And she decided to change it, and they decided to change it to a promotional panel where you would go in front of a panel and answer questions based on your answers and based on, I guess, your history, if you would get promoted or not. Well, they've already circumvented that, and somebody leaked all the questions to some of the candidates. So once again, the good old boys network is still at play because they select few gets the questions. But when you look at the questions that they were going to ask, I mean, these were basic questions that any cop in the academy could answer. They're directly from what we refer to as the Legal Bureau Bulletins in New York State, which goes over basic questions about Miranda, search and seizure, and a couple of other things. And if anybody wants to see what those questions are, you can just look them up in the news day. They have them in there. But, listen, I got promoted within the rank of sergeant. I'd like to believe that I got it because of my, hard work and dedication to the cases and doing, cold cases and stuff like that. But there are always those times where people who get promoted who really shouldn't, in regards to, because they knew somebody. And this is what they were trying to change. And unfortunately, it didn't work out that way. And I don't know. This is a bit of a black eye for the commissioner as she's, getting ready to leave, because You got to be able to make sure that you treat the people who are really working hard for you to make sure that they do get promoted and get recognized for it, because it's an important aspect of morale, and that needs to be addressed very quickly.
And Commissioner Hart is leaving. She'll be walking out the doors at around noon today. And you wonder, how much of this nonsense behind the scenes actually led to her departure. She's taking another job at Hofstra as far as being head of public safety over there. So, listen, the way Suffolk County has conducted itself, sometimes you scratch your head regarding enforcement. You look at Gilgo, you look at a lot of things here. You look at some of the nepotism and everything else, it's all documented there. So you just wonder. I mean, she's only had 3 years on the job. She's had a brilliant career, FBI and everything else, 20-plus years. 3 years on the job in Suffolk County. That's a head-scratcher there. But, maybe one just had enough. Who knows? But, Joe, these are all documented stuff, And you have to wonder what in the heck's going on here behind the scenes. Those questions will always arise,
Yes. Well, the speculation will always arise if you don't fill in the blanks, the public will fill it in for you. We've talked about this dozens of times, right? So if the police department isn't transparent and they don't come out with that information, the public will fill in those blanks for them, and generally it's never good for you. So I always said if you're in front of that moving train, you unfortunately sometimes you have to get in front of it and just deal with the consequences afterwards, because the court of public opinion is far worse than anything else you have to deal with.
Joe Jacklin, the Crime Report. A couple left minutes. Joe, an important one for Shelly Silva to go behind bars once again. He was out on furlough to find out what the heck they were going to do with him. You know what? He's released. What do we have, another double standard situation here? This guy was convicted by his peers for taking advantage of his position from a political standpoint, thereby showing all of us of the state of New York of how corrupt the system is. We know that in New York. Come on. It would take a half an hour to list all the incidents. But he should be brought back to prison. I said that early in the week, and he will be brought back to prison to serve the remainder of his sentence. And hopefully a message sent to all others who are thinking about it, officials, government officials, that the party's over, that we're not going to take it anymore. And certainly that was shown yesterday as far as Silva was concerned, Joe.
Yeah, the optics on the release was very bad. So, you know, you're dealing with a lot of different corruption angles. I mean, we've talked about just about every one of them, if not all of them, from New York over the last couple of years, and it just seems to be one after the other. So if you don't punish people or there's no deterrence, then there's, you know, this kind of behavior will continue. So he's been ordered back to go to jail. I mean, this is something that you kind of ask why was he even released in the first place. So you have a lot of things at play here. Like I said, all the new criminal justice reforms. I mean, listen, as far as you know, criminals go or convicts go in regards to, you know, what Sheldon Silva did to mean some of these other shooters and stuff like that who are being released too. You know, you can then weigh that. But listen, when you elect public officials and they break that trust, it's just like a police officer who breaks the trust and does something wrong. You have to hit people hard like that. If not, it's going to get it's only going to get worse.
I don't care if he's 87. I don't care if he's 17. Fact of the matter is, he abused the system and the trust of those who elected this guy. And
yep,
that can never be out there as far as double standards are concerned. Finally, I'll end on a sad note. I have to end on this note because, you know, Dermot Shea called Anastasio Sakos the perfect depiction of the American dream. You know, a guy who came from humble beginnings, spent a lifetime in service of his country, his community, the city he protected with his life. The officer, Joe, 14 years on the job, father of two, gut-wrenching in Greenlawn this past week over at the St. Paraskevi Greek Orthodox Shrine Church. Officers lined up those streets for miles. Man, what a sea of blue. And inside, paying their final respect. That was a tough, tough deal. You know, a guy who was on the scene on the LIE in Queens, directing traffic from a prior crash, gets run down by a drunk, you know, somebody who had tequila, marijuana in her system. My goodness. What can you say? But Sakos laid to rest. Just a tough one there. And it just shows you the importance of why our police officers need to be embraced for the dangerous job that they do on a daily basis.
Yeah, no, it's a terrible case. And when you just see the wife and the two small children, it's just gut-wrenching. And if anybody hasn't heard the video of the person who ran him down prior to this, they should listen to it and see exactly the kind of rhetoric that has led to, you know, police officers being attacked everywhere and that kind of thing. I mean, I'm glad she's been held, right? So I was wondering if they were going to keep her in jail, but she has been remanded at Rikers. So at least that's a little bit of a silver lining for the family that they wouldn't have to see this person be released while they're laying their loved one to rest.
By the way, I thank you for taking it easy on me this morning, especially when it comes to the Long Island Railroad and this conductor from, where was he, West Islip? Felony charges, pocketing collected train tickets, giving them away to his friends to use or submit for refunds. So I thank you, Joe, for laying off. Joe knows how to tweak me a little bit with this railroad stuff. Hey, listen, good weekend, great weekend. Rest it up, and I'll talk to you during the week, sir.
You too. Take care.